Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, why don't you just go ahead and find the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2. Now, we're in a series on Sunday morning. Now, we'll be back in our series on Wednesday night on grace, but we're in one on Sunday morning on surviving the end times. And we talked about how Satan would like to steal peace from the earth in the end times. That was our first teaching on having peace in troubled times. Our second one was on offense and how the devil wants to get people offended in the last days. You know, and the Bible says many will be offended. Then we talked last week about how he wants to get a hold of our tongue and use it for slander in the last days. This morning, we're going to talk about, and I know, you know, let me just say this. Okay, I understand that we're not preaching on, you know, our redemption in Christ Jesus and all that, but, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to know about to be well-rounded sheep. You know, you can't just eat the same thing all the time and be healthy. I mean, you know, I could live off pizza. I have to like pizza. And but, you know, there's probably some other things you need in your diet, amen, besides that. And so, you know, and spiritually there's some things that we need in our diet. And so I'm going to talk this morning, we're in our fourth teaching on surviving the end times, I'm going to talk about this, about a flood of filth and surviving it. Now, let's go in our Bible to, like I said, 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to begin at reading verse 4, and I'm going to read down to verse 8, and then we'll begin this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but he cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." There were angels. A certain group of the angels did a certain thing, which I'm not going to talk about this morning, but they did a certain thing that got them, like, locked up. Okay, and so they're locked up right now. Now that there was just a certain group that did something. I'm not going to talk about it. But anyway, verse 5 said, and he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Let me stop there just for a second. I mean, the Bible said he made them an example to those that would live ungodly afterwards. Okay, and so you know, thank God we have the Bible to straighten out our theology. Amen. Because there are people today teaching. Matter of fact, one minister after Sunday morning service, Brother Eddie, Eddie Willis, who's been in the ministry for over 40 years, who was here. After the service, he came up to me, and one of the first things he said to me is, "Thank you for still preaching the truth." Amen. He said, "There's people now that preach that, you know, that God never judges." Well, you know, he doesn't want to, but right here, he said this Sodom and Gomorrah is an example to those that would live that way afterwards. In other words, this is what will happen to you, something to this effect. Hard to preach with all this shouting going on, you know. Amen. Now, I want to go to a church that just preaches God's good all the time. Well, he is good all the time. So stick around. He's good all the time. Don't you correct your children? Doesn't mean you're bad. It means you're trying to save their lives. Now, all right, since that's going over so big. Verse 7. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed, I'm reading out of the New King James this morning, or the King James says, vexed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So, you know, Lot was in this place, and he's a righteous man, but what he's seeing every day, it's tormenting him. It's oppressing him. It's vexing him. And I think to myself, I think I know how he feels. Yeah. Because what's going on in our world today, especially in our country, it vexes me. I said it vexes me. If it doesn't trouble you, you've got a problem with your conscience. The devil's already got a hold of you. It troubles me. It bothers me. And, you know, it reminds me, you know, we won't look at the scripture, but it takes me back to Genesis chapter 6, where the Bible says that God saw that every imagination of the heart of man was only evil continually. And he was sorry that he made man. And I thought, today, just think about this. Some of the things that are happening today, and I know we're on negative stuff in this series, but we're talking about surviving it. Yeah, we got to talk about it to survive it. But I mean, we got companies there that are fighting for murdering babies. Not just individuals, we got entire companies that are fighting to murder. I think Jesus is coming back. I mean, if he doesn't come back and straighten this out, then he'd have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for doing it with them. Amen. Now, so in Noah's days, the Bible said the imagination of their heart was only evil continually. And it said that God, he was sorry he made man. But then it went on, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to be like that. So he's coming. Now, I got this. I want to read to you something out of this book. This book's called The Vision, and it's by a man by the name of David Wilkerson. He's in heaven now. He was known for, the cross and the switchblade. I mean, anybody remember the book or the movie? He was a preacher in Pennsylvania, and God called him to go, of all people, into New York City and witness and win the gangs to Jesus Christ. I mean, talk about a guy with some guts. And I mean, he's not a city dweller. He pastored a smaller church in rural Pennsylvania, I believe. I can't remember what town it was, but But God called him and said, "I want you to go to New York City and win the gangs to Jesus." And so he just obeyed God. He drove in his car to New York City and parked it on the street. And the first night he was there, they jacked his car while he was asleep in it. He didn't have any place to sleep, so he slept in his car. So when he woke up, they'd stolen all the tires off the car. So welcome to New York City, amen. Welcome to the hood, you know. But anyway, the end of the story is, he won a lot of young people to Jesus. The leader of one of the roughest gangs in New York, his name was Nicky Cruz. Nicky Cruz tried to kill Wilkerson. Wilkerson tells the story. Cruz tells it the same way. He had a knife. He tried to kill him. He couldn't get it in him. As he's trying to stab David Wilkerson says, "Nicky, you can cut me in 1,000 pieces and every piece will say, 'I love you.'" And I mean, that got to Nicky Cruz. He got born again. Today he's an evangelist that travels around preaching the gospel. He's still alive. I think he is. But he had a great effect. But in 1973, God gave him a vision of what was coming on the earth, and particularly our nation. And I got the book, actually. I got the book in the early 70s. I probably first read the book in 1974, 1975. You know, I don't remember when it was, but I read the book then. So I was just a young man, and I wasn't saved. And so as I read through the book, I some of the things he said was going to happen, I thought, well, I can't ever see that happening. That seems far out, way out there. Now, I haven't read the book for years, but I thought about this because I remembered that he had something in there about a flood of filth coming. So I leafed through it, and I looked through some of the things that he said was going to happen, that would begin to happen, and he began to talk about, different things that would happen in the financial realm, and he began to talk about different things that would happen with young people. He began to talk about persecution, different things, earthquakes. Drastic weather changes and earthquakes, a flood of filth. He began to talk about the number one youth problem would be, "I hate my parents." persecution, madness, how the world would go mad. I think he just kind of limits it to our country and persecution in the church. And I was looking through here, and I came across several things, and I thought, my goodness, that just started coming to pass. He talked about the undermining of Christian education and how they would go after Christian education. I thought, now that's just happening in our day right now. He talked about persecution from TV comedies. Now, in these days, they would not say anything negative about Jesus Christ or the church on these shows because they wouldn't last. And he talked about, persecution through the media, persecution from Hollywood. And I thought, my goodness, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad I looked through that. I want to read this book again. You ought to get this book. It's called The Vision, David Wilkers. You can still buy it to show you how old this one is. This book right here, it cost $1.50. $1.50. I don't even know if you can go through McDonald's and get anything for $1.50. Used to you could get their cheeseburger for $1.04. It's probably over that now. Maybe it's $1.54. So I don't know. But listen to what he said, okay? Because we're talking about surviving the flood of filth that's coming on our country right now. We're talking about heaven or hell for some people. Listen to this. In this one section, he talks about, he talks about a moral landslide is coming. He talks about triple X-rated movies on TV after midnight. He talks about Playboy on the newsstands. Well, that happened years ago. He talks about different things, about infiltrating sex education. Well, that certainly happened. The schools have no business teaching your kids about sex. It was quiet on that, but they don't. That's your job. Mom and dad are supposed to explain the birds and the bees. So he talks about different things, but listen to this. He said this. This is a short excerpt I'm going to read out of this book. He said, the world faces a dirt bath so intense that it will vex the minds and souls of some of the most devout Christians alive today. The Bible says Lot vexed his soul night and day by the things he saw and heard in Sodom. Christians are soon going to be exposed to such violent filth and sensuality that it will take a firm grip on God to survive. Those on the fence are going to fall flat on their faces. I'm going to say that again. Those on the fence are going to fall flat on their faces. Those who do not enter the ark of God's safety are going to be swept away by this flood of filth. And I might add, they will spend eternity in hell. Most preachers won't add that, but I will, because if you fall away, you fall away. Now, so, starting out really good here, aren't we? That flood has arrived. I said that flood has arrived. As it was in the days of Noah, so it is now. Now, notice that book, I need him to tell me that to know that. I know that. That if you're not all in, if you're not doing the right thing, you're going to get swept away with this. This is going to sweep you away. Because, listen, you know, the Bible says be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You can't just will to be strong. Have you ever said, I'll never do that again? How many had to repent for lying, right? How many have, I've been trying to lose some weight. I just want to lose about a few pounds. Well, double digits. Let's just leave it at that. None of your business, right? So, it's amazing when I go back to my planner. I'm a planner guy, and I have a planner, and it's amazing how many times I've restarted. Because, I'll think, well, all right, that's it. I'm starting tomorrow. And so I'll write my weight down. And then I have to go back and mark that out and say, well, we're starting over here. 20 times maybe? I don't know. Maybe more than that, you know. Why is that? Because, see, if you're just dependent on just willpower alone, you're probably not going to make it. See, so I can be strong against it. No, you can't. What did Joseph do when Potiphar's wife made passes at him? He ran, didn't he? He didn't sit on the bed and say, "Let's talk about this." Right? He booked it out of there. Why? Because he knows the flesh. Jesus said, "I know what's in man. Your flesh, even though it's been redeemed, it hasn't been redeemed." I said, even though it's been redeemed, the price has been paid, you haven't received your glorified body yet. So you have to understand, I can't trust my flesh. I got to make it behave in the power of His might. Amen. And we're going to talk about that this morning, because the devil is after the minds of people. Amen. And he's trying to get your mind through this flood of filth. And we need to battle it. We need to fight it. Amen. Every one of us. So what I want to do this morning is I want to talk to you about keeping your mind clean. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 13. We're going to talk about this morning. And I hope you get something out of this. John 13, because I'm going to look at some things about keeping your mind clean. In other words, doing the right things where this flood of filth doesn't overtake you. Right? You know, now listen, I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help people. So just suck it up. But, you know, I'm appalled when I read, if these things are accurate, about how many Christian men view pornography. I mean, it's like, one thing I saw was something like 80 or 85%. Now, I don't know if that's accurate or not. I hope it's not. But we need to do something here. And women do too, so don't lay it all at the feet of men. Let's just be clear about that. Just people in general, you know. And I saw where there's like, it was over half, maybe over half the preachers did. Well, you know, listen, we need to do something about this. First of all, they need to get out of the ministry until they get it right. Secondly, you know, I'm just shooting straight with you. If I'm going to live immoral, I'm going to get out. I'm going to do one or the other. I'm either going to live for God or I'm going to live for the devil. I'm not going to do this halfway. That's too tormenting. Let's either go all out for God or go all out for the devil. I'm not telling you I've never messed up, never sinned, never lost my temper, you know, never called people names. But I repent of it. Let's end that, right? So I'm not talking about we live this life of perfection, but we shouldn't be doing stuff like that. And I'm not here to condemn you. If you're dealing with it, I'm here to help you get free of it. But I'm just simply saying, I mean, if that's true, then we're in trouble in the church, and it's no wonder we don't have any power any longer. We've got to get back to where we believe what the Bible says when it teaches about perfecting holiness in the fear of God and kick this stuff out of our life. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm bound by it." Well, I know that, but listen, what you need to do is, if you're bound, I've had people come to me, people in this church come to me, and I keep it secret. I don't even tell, not that I can't tell Phyllis, but sometimes I don't necessarily tell her. If it's a man comes to me, and I've had men in this church come and say, "Pastor, I'm dealing with pornography." Well, I'm glad they came to me. We laid hands on them and cast that devil out of them, you know, or whatever, got them free from that. And I've followed up on it, and yeah, I'm not doing it any longer. Well, good. Right? Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. That's because the devil's already got you. The Bible says, don't look on the nakedness of another person. Well, we're shooting straight this morning. Keep your clothes on. I'm just going to shoot straight. I don't understand how Christian women run around in bikinis. Nothing is nothing but glorified bra and panties. Put some clothes on. What's wrong with you? What are you thinking? You've been conformed to the world. That's what's happened. You haven't kept your mind renewed. Come on, somebody help me out. You haven't kept your mind renewed to God's Word and God's holiness and His standards. And because the world says it's okay doesn't mean it's okay. Come on. What's with that? I'm preaching good this morning. We might only have 10 people next Sunday morning. But I don't care. It's still the truth. People need to hear it. They don't hear it any longer. Well, you're just clothesline preaching. Well, put some clothes on and you can take the line down.
Very good.
The Bible talks about it, about dressing modest. And that goes for men that come out there in their Speedos. I don't want to see your ugly legs and your ugly rear end. Put some clothes on. You telling me having them up to here, having up there, up here makes you a champion swimmer, and down here you can't swim 10 feet? Come on, give me a break. You got to conform to the world. Just because the world does it and runs around that way doesn't mean Christians are supposed to. They don't know any better. Their God's the devil. Who are you serving? I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And He taught me by His Word to live holy, to live decently, to live modestly, to dress right, to talk right, to act right. Thank you, Jesus. And don't wonder our kids get confused. Because we got to live it in front of them. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know. Anyway, that probably doesn't fit most churches today, but it sort of fits the Bible. Amen. So we have to watch this flood of filth that's coming, because it's going to get on people. It's going to... What I was saying was, look, you can't just depend on your own ability. You can't trust your flesh any further than you can throw it. You got to make it behave. You ever notice how your flesh will tell you, if you buy that, I'll only eat one piece? It's a lying devil is what it is. It'll eat the whole thing if you don't stop it. I like what Joyce Meyer said one time. You know, she would give herself a chocolate peanut after supper every night. How many know what supper is? Okay, just checking. And she would give herself, she would keep them hid in the refrigerator, you know. And so the family couldn't find it, and every night, you know, and then she finally decided she was going to quit, and she said that her flesh would say, give me my peanut. You know, it wants it, right? You got to keep it under control, right? Amen. Well, how do we do it, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. You got to keep your mind renewed. See, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing your mind, that you may prove, or that you may get into that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, let's go here to John chapter 13. Look, if you want to live like the world, you can come to this church, but I probably won't use you much. That went over big. Why? Because I don't want to allow that. I don't want that. I don't want to allow that into our church. I'm not allowing the spirit of the world into our church. Now you can still come here. I'll still love you. I'll still pray for you. I don't think I'll be your pastor, because you wouldn't let me pastor you. If you're going to let me pastor you, let me preach to you and tell you the truth and then live by it. That's pastoring. That's shepherding. But I mean, you could still come. I could be your Bible teacher, and I'd still love you and pray for you and lay hands on you to help you all I could. But you know, if I'm going to be your pastor, then you got to do the word. How could I pastor without the word? I don't have anything else to pastor you with. What would I use? A shotgun? I don't know. We had some guys, I don't know why I'm telling this story, but it's just funny. We had some guys one time when we were growing at the Revival Center, we didn't have enough parking, you know. We had to make the parking lot bigger. Before we made the parking lot bigger, we decided we'd have to have parking people out in the parking lot, and they'd park people so we'd get everybody to park right. Instead of parking 5 feet away from a person, they'd get up like close, you know. So we sent them out there, and they came back and said, well, you'd have to have a shotgun to park some of these people. And then they found out they had to be out there in the rain, and they quit. So real great ministry helped people. That's before we knew much about the ministry helps in those days. Now, John 13, are you there? Verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from His... Now read this with me. So He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and was going to God, He rose from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, look at this. Are you washing my feet? Are you going to wash my feet? In other words, do you intend to do that to me? Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Now stop. Hold your place right there at verse 8. And stop just for a minute. I want you to think about this. This can't just be simple washing of the feet. He's got to be trying to teach something deeper. Now we know, as you read on, he was teaching on servanthood. But it can't be the only thing, because he just told Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. Now how many know that's something deeper than just something natural? See, he's talking about washing and being clean spiritually. See, he's showing them something. Now read on, because I want you to have that in your mind. Let's see, where do we leave off at? Verse 8, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash but his feet, but is complete. Let me back up. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you're not clean. Now, I want you to notice the clean he's talking about isn't like washing your body clean. He's talking about spiritually clean. Judas was spiritually unclean. He was the son of perdition. But I want you to notice, he goes to wash Peter's feet, and Peter says, hey, no way, you're not doing that to me. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. Peter says, hey, well, if it's that case, just wash me all over. Jesus said, you don't need that. You had a bath this morning. You just need your feet washed. Now, let me know, in those days, it was different than it is today. They walked on those dusty trails with sandals on. So as they're walking, they're kicking up dust. They may have bathed that morning, but they're walking somewhere. Their feet are getting dirty. Now you'll find this was a Bible thing. You go in the house, sometimes they'd wash their feet because their feet got dirty on the trip. Jesus is saying to his disciples, he's saying, if you've been, let's put it in language we would understand. If you've been born again, you're already clean. You're already clean. But when you walk out in the world, your feet get dirty. Why? Because there's filth out there. So you need to wash your feet off. Now, I'm convinced just by reading the New Testament, the washing of the feet, the principle he's teaching, he is teaching on servanthood, yes, but there's a deeper meaning here, and I'm convinced a deeper meaning is this, that when we're out, we've been born again, we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we've been made new creatures, but walking out in the world, filth gets on our feet. Now, I compare that filth tries to get in our mind. And we have to wash our minds with the Word of God. And we don't do that on a daily basis. That filth overtakes us. That's the way we keep the flood of filth from overtaking us, by washing our minds with the Word. Every day spending time in the Word of God. Every day spend time. And also you could add in His presence. You know. You spend time with Jesus. See. You remember, Jesus said this, it's actually in John 15, we're in 13, but if you were to look at John 15, I think it's verse 3, he said, now you're clean through the word I spoke to you. Remember that? Remember the book of Ephesians, that husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a holy, a glorious church without spot and wrinkle. What's up with the word washing? Amen. See, we've been cleansed by the blood, but as we live out in the world, filth tries to get in there. That floods out there. All right. Remember what the psalmist said, David? He said, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Right? Amen. So we see that. Now let's go over to Exodus. We're going to look at this in a principle again in Exodus chapter 30. Go over there, Exodus 30, real quickly, please. Exodus 30. I mean, you can take your time, but I'm moving on. Exodus 30. Exodus 30, go over there. So I don't think people, I'm not accusing you, but I'm just saying, I don't think as a whole the church takes this serious enough. When we started this series, we talked about this, how Paul said in the last days there would be a falling away come, and that some would depart from the faith. We have to be in it to depart from it. You have to be there to fall away. So that tells me there's going to be some people, and he was talking about in the end times, Paul was, there's going to be some people are not going to survive. They're not going to make it. So we're just talking about how to make it. Amen. We're not glorifying the devil, but we need to be smart about his tactics. And too much of the church is ignorant of his devices. Let me just tell you what the modern church looks like. The modern church finds out what sinners likes, what they like, and that's what they provide. The real church finds out what God likes, and that's what they provide. There are studies on how to get people into your church. Not all bad. Some are. But where are the studies on how to get God into your church? Amen. Hilton Sutton, great prophecy teacher who went to heaven a few years back, he said, the modern preacher has lost God in God's house and can't get him back. Think about it. I think it's scripturally, spiritually wrong to try to give people what they want instead of what they need. The world has love confused. The world says, if you love me, you do what I want you to do for me. God says, if I love you, I do what's good for you. And it may not be what you want. It may be different. As a parent, you would know that. You can't give your kids everything they want. Because some things are not good for them. You have to be the parent and be the one that's got the big pants on. And say, no, you can't do that. Well, I can't. House rules. Well, I'm going to run away. Bye. You'll be back, you sorry outfit. Once you get out in the real world, oh, yeah, man, I couldn't wait to get out of high school. I could not wait. I'd been serving a prison sentence for over 3 years. That's the way I saw it, you know. And so I had enough credits to get out my senior year. I didn't have to go the whole year. I only had to go half a day, half a year because I had the credits. And in the school I was at, if you had credits, you could graduate early. You had to wait to walk in May with the rest of your classmates to get your diploma, but they would let you out and you're good. You're good to go. I could not wait. I went half a day, half the last year I took all shop classes. I mean, I had basically quit school after my junior year. I mean, I'm done, you know. Now I'm like, you know, electrical class, you know, wood class, metal class, study hall, go home. Yeah, I was a mess. I needed saved. I needed off drugs. I needed my mind renewed. I started doing drugs when I was 13, drinking when I was 15. That's how what a mess I was. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Anyway, so I got out. Well, you know, I went and got a job. And one of the jobs I got was working in a rubber plant. you know, where it's about 125 degrees. Hey, man, and you're working around these vulcanizer things. They get like 4,000 degrees, you know, and you're working from like, I think I was working like from 4 in the afternoon to 2:30 in the morning. And so it didn't take me long of that to think, what have I done? I should have stayed in school. Amen. So God is not always going to give you what you think you need. He's going to give you what you really need. That's what love is. Amen. Now, did you find Exodus? That little meddling there. It's good. Exodus chapter 30, verse 17. The Bible says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall make a laver, a basin, we would say, of bronze, with its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. And Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it. And when they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister and to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord." Now notice this, "they shall wash their feet, they shall wash their feet with water, lest they die. And so shall they wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generations." Now, anytime God says something like that, where it's going to be a statute forever throughout their generations, you need to know that carries on. That has some spiritual significance to it. And what it's telling us, listen, this is the same thing we talk about, the washing of the Word. This laver represented the Word of God. And God was saying, Aaron and his sons, you guys need to wash yourself in this laver. You need to wash yourself with God's Word, lest you die. Lest you die. Now, he's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. In other words, listen. Did you know you can be born again, you can have the life of God in you, and still walk in aspects of spiritual death? Absolutely. I can show it to you out of John. The Bible talks about, you know, that if you don't love your brother, you're walking in death. You could be born again. You could be spiritually born again, but walking in spiritual aspects of spiritual death. What's that mean? Well, the curse is on you. See, listen, folks, we do a lot of things, and I know this isn't some of you, You maybe you don't like this morning, but really, it's just the truth, whether you like it or not. And you know, the thing of it is, some people don't realize you can do things that open the door to the devil to come into your life. A lot of sickness, a lot of mental problems, a lot of financial problems, family problems, and so forth come because we open the door for him to get in. See, and he wouldn't be there if we hadn't let him in. Now, he attacks, you know, anyway, but yet you have victory over him. And when you're on sure ground, you got something to fight with. But if you got an open door, you got to close the door. I mean, if a pig comes in your house, you got to close the door. You can't just run it out. You got to close the door. So sometimes there's doors that need to be closed, things when we're disobeying God. If you're disobeying God, you know you're disobeying God. It's going to be hard for you to walk in the victory that Christ has for you. Are you with me now? See, amen. Now, notice it said, lest they die. Remember Romans 8:6, it says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, if we don't keep our minds, this flood of filth is going to overtake us. Now, I'll tell you what, let's go to one more scripture. Let's go to Ezra, and that's in the Old Testament. You'll find Chronicles. There's a 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. There's a Ezra, then Nehemiah. Go to Ezra chapter 6, and then I'm going to look at chapter 9, and then we'll close. Maybe I'm not preaching this the best way it could be preached, but it's still good truth. And I just want to say to you that, you know, that in these end times, we got to stay strong. We got to stay hooked up with God. We got to be more hungry than we've ever been. And I have a deep concern that there's too many in the church that aren't as hungry as they used to be, and they'll get swept away. You can't be on the fence in these last days and make it. You've got to be sold out. Amen. If you're not sold out, it's going to be hard to make it. Because there is such strong pressure right now in America on the church to conform to the world. One of the political people that ran last election, one of the things that they said was they were going to change the church. Seriously. They were going to change the church. I laughed. I said, have fun trying. Because the true church is built upon the rock, and the gates of hell or no politician shall prevail against it. You'll die trying to do that. You'll die of judgment trying to do that. We need some of our politics. Well, I'm preaching strong this morning. I hope I'm trying to put a little bit of a smile on my face. But some of our politicians need to be eaten up with worms and fall over dead, yeah, messing with the church. Well, we don't pray that on them, but you kind of want to poke God a little bit, say, get them, get them, get them. Come on. You know, we're not supposed to pray that on them. So anyway, but you know, that happened in the New Testament. You know, they called Herod a god, and he didn't give glory to God, and he was smitten dead and eaten by worms. See, Simon Paul, I'm going to change the church. Over they go. Anybody else want to try? I'm telling you, when the power of God gets moving, as I believe it's getting ready to happen, you don't want to get in the way of it, because it's power for good, but it'll destroy you if you get in the way of it. I guarantee it'll wipe you out. Hallelujah. Let me pray about putting this one on the podcast. No, I'm teasing. Because, you know, if somebody heard this, and this is all they ever heard me preach, they think, man, that guy's rough. You know, not really. You ought to hear rough. Rough's when you find yourself in hell. That's rough. Amen. Now, man, I hope I'm scaring the fire out of you this morning. Pastor, you're putting us in hell and judgment and everything else. Well, good. No, I believe better things of all of us. But we still need to keep ourselves clean and keep our minds renewed. Because all that filth gets in there, it'll destroy you. You find yourself in hell one day and went, how did this happen? And I don't want that to happen to anybody. I don't want you missing the rapture either, by the way. Amen. I still believe in it, and I don't want to miss it. Now, Ezra chapter 6, verse 19, we'll read this, and then we'll read the other one, and we'll close out. Ezra 6, verse 19, it says, and the descendants of the captivity kept the Passover. It's talking about the children of Israel when they were in captivity. And the descendants of the captivity kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites had purified themselves. All of them were ritually clean, and they slaughtered the Passover lambs for all the descendants of the captivity and for their brethren the priests and for themselves. Then the children of Israel who had returned from captivity ate together with all who had separated themselves from the filth of the nations of the land in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. Notice that those that had separated themselves from the filth of the nations were able to eat the Passover. In other words, now Passover partakes about our redemption. So they were able to partake of their redemption because they separated themselves from the filth of the land. Verse 22, and they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of the God of Israel. So we see they were able to eat the Passover. They were able to have their hands strong. Why? Because they cleansed themselves of the filth of the land. Now see, Paul told us the only way to do that is renew your mind. Be not conformed to the world, but renew your mind. Now, all right, the ninth chapter, and this is our last scripture today. Should you get something out of this? Amen. All right. 9:10, it says, and now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments, which you commanded by your servant the prophets, saying, the land which you are entering to possess is an unclean land, with the uncleanness of the peoples of the land, with their abominations which they have filled it from one end to the other, with their impurity. I think that pretty much represents or is a picture of our country today. But now, therefore, notice this, do not give your daughters as wives for their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons. So in other words, don't let your children marry these heathen people, right? And you know, that's the same today. Don't let your kids run off and date Philistines. What can I do about it? What be the parent? Well, they moved out of the house. Well, they're gone. Your parenting days are done in that respect. I don't know, Dr. Summerall told his kids you do things, I'll still come to your house and spank you at 40 years old. Well, that was Dr. Summerall. But and believe me, he probably would have and probably did. Matter of fact, I think one of his boys said something smart to his mom when he was 40 years old, and Dr. Summerall came to his house to spank him. But we know the Bible talks about leave and cleave, you know what I'm talking about. But if your kids are still in your house, don't let them date Philistine. Well, this Philistine wants to take them to the prom. What do you think Philistines do at the prom? Get real with me. Some of you were Philistines before you became Israelites. Tell me what you did. Don't get religious on me. Lord, help me, Jesus. Get me singing a country song here in a minute. Are you that dumb that you don't remember when you were a Philistine? What did you want to do? Enough said. And so you're going to send your daughter out with some Philistine guy who promises to bring her home at 10? I don't think so. Get him saved. Matter of fact, if something comes straggling in on the porch knocking on your door and you don't know what it is, find out if it's a Philistine or not. How many know what I mean by Philistine? Uncircumcised, not in covenant with God, not born again. Then you find out, okay, well, I go to church. Well, I don't care if you go to church. Are you born again? Well, yes. Well, then say, okay. Shika lamanda kotoro bekasake brande. Interpret that. And if they can't, say, well, get out of here. You're not spiritual enough. Well, that's good preaching right there. Maybe I'm putting a little extra on that, but I'm just telling you, you got a responsibility. What's wrong with you? Think about it. Kids don't think these things through. They need help. Well, some do, but a lot don't. I didn't. Amen. Men, treat your daughters like royalty and like ladies so that when they meet a man who doesn't, they know it. I'm just trying to help you. You know. Show them how you're supposed to treat a woman. And then when that jughead shows up, they'll think, well, he's a dipstick. He doesn't act like dad. And they'll dump him. I don't care if he is. See, not all Christian boys are good either. Don't misunderstand me. But at least don't let them go out with a Philistine. They're going to go to the Philistine dance and do the things that Philistines do. Well, that's good preaching. You know, here's another thing. I don't even know you have to let them go to the Philistine prom. That definitely did not go well. For me, the Bible says, if the Philistines have a party, send your kids. Let them have them for a night. Let them devour them. Let them put all kinds of ungodly stuff in them. Unbelief. Let them molest them. And wonder why we have issues. A lot of it's just, you need to have some common sense. Remember what you were. You know, listen, I remember what I looked like when I was 17 years old. I would not let that date my daughter. There's no way. Matter of fact, I'd be sitting on the porch in a rocking chair holding a shotgun over my lap when he showed up. And then when he came, I'd point it at him and say, "You wanting to date my daughter?" And watch him book it. Hallelujah. All right. We're not really preaching now. We're just meddling. All right. Now notice this, verse 12. "Therefore, do not give your daughters as wives for their sons, nor take their daughters to your sons, neither seek their peace or prosperity." No, don't. We're not supposed to help sinners sin. We're not supposed to bless them in their sin. Are you with me? We're not supposed to do that. "That you," now notice, here's the reason why, "that you may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it as an inheritance to your children forever." In other words, if you don't carry yourself right, you won't be strong, you won't eat the good of the land, and you won't leave any spiritual inheritance to your kids. Did you get something today? Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank God for His Word. Well, I got like... If you're going to clap, clap. You know. I know, I'm just... Well, that was kind of good. You either liked it or you didn't. I don't care. Whichever way, just eat it or spit it out. But it's the truth. Amen. I'm cocky today. I got to lose this. I'm going to my mom's house. I got to love on her. Hallelujah. You know, Paul talked about, I would have loved to have traveled with the Apostle Paul. I mean, you think if you're with the Apostle Paul that, you know, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be cool. But there was a guy by the name of Demas who was traveling with Paul, and Paul said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Now, you would think that if you had the opportunity to travel with the Apostle Paul, you'd stick by his side. But see, Demas didn't keep his mind renewed, and the world got in him, and he went back to them. That's what Paul said. He said, "Demas has forsaken me. He loved this present world." He didn't sugarcoat it. He said he loved this present world. See, he said that for a reason. Paul wasn't just gossiping about Demas. He was letting people know, if you don't keep your mind renewed to the things of God, you'll be like Demas. You'll be right back out in the world. And see, just because you're around, a lot of people think, "Boy, if I went to so-and-so's church, boy, wouldn't I be spiritual?" No, you'd be the same thing you are right now. That's exactly what you'd be. You are, and I are, pardon my English, but you and I are what we want to be. Just as simple as that. And we have these grand, a lot of people think, "Boy, if I could just get to so-and-so's meetings, I know I'd get healed." If you can't get healed now, you won't get healed there. It's just that simple.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.